Once again, we'd like to thank our brother for bringing to our attention those messages and song that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you this evening to turn open your Bible to the New Testament book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. We want to read a few verses together from chapter 6. Just while you're turning it up, I just want to say something. There's an apple here and there's a wee bit out of it. It wasn't me at it. I don't know who your preacher was this morning, but I haven't touched it yet. So don't be blaming me when I'm going away for eating some of your apples up here. I didn't touch it. Just wanted to clarify that in case of any allegations against me. All right. Galatians chapter 6. And we want to read some verses commencing at the verse 1 of the chapter. There Paul writes, and he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." We'll end our reading there at the close of the verse 9. And we know that God will bless his own precious word to our hearts this evening. I want for a few moments tonight to focus your attention on two verses. Verses 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And just before we turn to these words, let's bow together in prayer, and let's ask for God to come and to be in our presence this evening. Our eternal God and Father in heaven, as we come afresh to thee tonight, we thank you for thy presence with us in this meeting. We thank you, Lord, for the words of Scripture, for the truth of the words that are found before us. Dear Father in heaven, as we come to consider these verses, we ask and pray that thou would give us help from thyself. Lord, as we gather here at this harvest service, Lord, these are words that bring such an occasion very readily to our mind. And yet, our God, we realize that within them there is solemn gospel teaching. Father in heaven, be with us. Bless us in thy presence this evening. Lord, grant me that help from on high. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that these lips might be used to speak of thee and to uplift the person and the work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with us, we pray, for it's in thy name we ask these things. Amen. Before I went into Bible college to train for the ministry, I used to be an electrician. I used to end up working in various parts of the country, and north and south of Ireland. And one night we'd been working down in Naas on the far side of Dublin. It was about 10:30 and we were travelling back up, heading home. As I come into Castle Blaney, got the job of driving. As I was coming into Castle Blaney, I looked in the mirror and I saw this thing behind me. It makes your heart go that wee bit faster, with blue flashing lights. And I was pulled over and the guard got out. He was a very nice, very friendly chap. And my foot had been a little bit heavy on the right. I was speeding. And I got fined for it and I broke the law. And I don't encourage anyone to do it. They're better to stay within the limits. But you know, as we think of such occasions, we're reminded that there is a law within the land. There is a law within the land of Ulster, within the nation in which we reside, that you and I have to obey. And as we look at life as a whole, we find there are laws within different aspects of life. You look at the different occupations, the doctor, as he goes about his duties, there are certain laws, certain rules, certain regulations that he has to abide by. You think even of the housewife, she's in the home and she goes to do a little bit of cooking. There's a recipe there. There are guidelines and directions as to how she ought to mix the various ingredients that she might get something that is edible at the end of the day. There are laws that enter into every facet of society, into every aspect of our life. And here as we read this passage of Galatians in the chapter 6, we see the Apostle Paul is bringing this letter to a conclusion. He's been writing to the church at Galatia, and as he draws it to a close, there are certain truths that he mentions and brings to the attention of the people here in this chapter. And there are two particular I want to draw out before you this evening. If you look at the verse 7, Paul writes to the people and he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And here's a law that Paul is bringing to the attention of those that were listening, and it is a law that applies to the heart of the believer, and it is a law that applies to the heart of the unsaved. It's a law that applies to mankind in general. The second law that we can draw out of this portion is found there in the verse 9. It's one that we can take and apply very specifically to the heart of the child of God. He writes there, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Both of these verses, as we look at them, they use the word reap within it, and they bring to our attention the thought of the harvest. The thought of the farmer going out into the field, and as he did in a bygone day, he went out with a scythe and with the sickle, and he cut down the corn, and he gathered it up, he reaped it in. Now there's not too many today go out with a scythe. It's more likely to be a John Deere and a big harvester on behind, and there's even less who go out with a sickle, but there's still the reaping of a harvest. And tonight, for a few moments, I want to direct your attention to verses 7 and 8. And I'm sure maybe, perhaps, there are words you've heard spoken on before, and there are verses that we can simply entitle the law of the harvest. There are laws in every aspect of life, but here's a law that relates to the harvest. Here's a law that relates to the farmer. Here is a law that we find that relates to you and I in a spiritual sense as well. And for a few moments tonight, I want to direct your attention to these thoughts that we find here on the page of Holy Scripture. First thing I want you to notice in this verse is the highlighting of the law. The opening words of verse 7 say this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." You know, those are words that ought to reach out and touch you. Those are words that ought to, as it were, stop you in your tracks. It's just as if you're going down the road and something runs out in front of you and you stand on the brakes. These words ought to do the same. Friend, in this meeting this evening, as you read those words together, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked," they ought to stop every one of us in our tracks and make us think. There's a God in heaven. There's a God who knows every thought, every imagination that is in your heart. There's a God who knows what you have done in the days that are past. There's a God that knows all about your life. There's a God that knows where you stand spiritually. And here Paul brings a warning to our attention. It's "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." In other words, Paul is saying, stop. Take attention of the words that I'm going to write. And pay heed to them within your heart. You see, men and women, it's very easy sometimes today to open up the Bible and you read a portion of Scripture. And if someone was to ask you in 10 minutes' time, "What did you read?" you couldn't repeat it. You could maybe say, "Well, I've got the gist of it." But you don't actually remember the wording of it. And you know, these words remind us that as we read the Word of God, if you're a Christian, you ought to be reading the Scriptures daily. And as you read the Bible, you ought to think about it. You ought to meditate upon it. David uses that word and he speaks of the law of God that he meditates in it day and night. That word meditate, it means to think about it. To bring it back up to your mind afresh and think again. And I'm speaking tonight and I would know quite a few of your farmers. You're familiar with the cow chewing your cud. She eats the grass and she has the four stomachs and it goes down and comes back up again and she chews it again and gets another little bit of good out of it. That's how we ought to read the Scripture. Read it in a prayerful attitude, saying, "Lord, what do you want me to learn from this passage?" And think about it throughout the day. And Paul, as he addresses these people in Galatia, he says, "I want you to stop. I want you to consider the words that I'm going to tell you, because they're vitally important. They're vitally important for your daily welfare. They're vitally important for your spiritual welfare and for your eternal destiny." Here he highlights the law. He brings it to their attention. You see, we need to be very careful as to what God says. Maybe you're here tonight and you went through school and maybe the teachers were there and they tried to teach you and you didn't really pay much heed to them. You had far better things in mind. Maybe you were looking to get home to look after a lock of cattle or to go out and bring in hay or help with silage. You had no thought of the teacher. Maybe you sat in Sunday school. There a godly teacher sought to teach you the things of God, and again, you didn't really pay much heed. Perhaps Sunday by Sunday you come to this house. God's servant faithfully handles the word of God, faithfully breaks it up and presents it to you, and yet again you pay very little heed to his word. Friend, you need to heed when God speaks. You see, God knows your heart. God knows where you stand spiritually. Bible teaches us that God examines and looks at the very heart of man. Looks in, examines, questions, and that determines our eternal destiny. The Lord Jesus Christ, over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, there in the verse 41, he reminds us, he says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." You see, the God of heaven, there's one day that you will stand before him on the judgment seat. You may pay no heed to his written word. You may pay no heed to the word that is preached from the pulpit. But there will come a day when you will stand before God. You will give account of your life. Of every idle word. Of every gospel message that you have heard, of every opportunity you've had to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul has penned these words here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, take care, for God is not mocked. God will not be mocked. God will attribute to you that eternal destiny according to what you've done with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in these verses there is that highlighting of the law that is brought before us. But I want you to notice this law that is here. I want you first of all to notice the scope of the law. As you read verse 7, it says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You see, here in this passage of Scripture, it doesn't really specify what it's speaking about. It doesn't say if a man sow barley that he'll reap wheat. It doesn't say if a man sows grass that he'll reap strawberries. There is a scope to it here. It doesn't specify what the crop is, but it's simply saying, whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. And it is that which applies to every aspect of life. You think of the gardener. You think of the farmer. The farmer goes out and he sows his potatoes, and he anticipates at the end of the year he will reap again potatoes. The gardener will go out and they take a bit of time cultivating the soil, and they will sow perhaps carrots and lettuce, and they anticipate that come the end of the year at the harvest season, that's exactly what they will reap. And this law is true in that sense. This law is very true in the sense of the farmer. But you know, this is a law that also is fulfilled in daily life. You see, you look at a man and perhaps he's a business enterprise. Maybe it's got left to him by his parents. Maybe that man is idle, he neglects the business. He takes a good lie in the morning, and he quits very early in the afternoon, and he's slack and careless about his affairs. And as you look, you'll say to yourself, well, that's never going to last. That man's not putting any effort in. He's going to reap what he's sowing. He's sowing very little work. He's going to get very little reward. And thus, in the time, whenever you hear that the business has folded, you understand it. Now, I realize in the time in which we live that there are businesses that are getting it very difficult, and it's not because of any failure on behalf of those that are working in them. But there's this law in life, that if you don't put the effort in, you'll not get it out. We think also with regard to the men that indulge, or those that indulge in the sins of the flesh. And you can look at them and you see that they're indulging in the drink and in the cigarettes and in the immorality of the world, and all of those things take a toll upon them. Their life is broken. Their health is gone. A man who takes his money and he goes into the putties and there he gambles it on the horses, and you know exactly what's going to happen. He goes to beggary. The money goes. The house goes. Perhaps the marriage goes and the family goes. Why? Because he's reaped what he sowed. He threw his money bad after good. And he's reaped what he's sown. It is a law that not only do we see it in the farming world, not only do we see it in daily life, but we see it with regard to the things of God. With regard to our dealings with our Heavenly Father, this law is also very true. You see, someone has said in the past that man's own conscience will even tell him to expect that that which he does will eventually come back to him. Men that have done evil deeds, and those deeds come back to annoy their conscience, to upset them in a later day, because of what they've sown, they later reap. Man has made the comment, and he said, how is it that graceless men cannot bear to be alone? It is because conscience shakes them and makes them think of the future. Dread still greater misery than they at present endure. I don't know whether you ever noticed or not, but we live in an age today where people don't like silence. You go into a shopping centre and there's a radio going. You go into a garage and there's a radio going. You go into a home perhaps and there's a television sitting going in the corner. There's noise coming from every side. It almost seems as if men and women today don't like silence. Why is that? Whenever there's silence, when there's quietness, it causes you and I to think. It causes you and I, perhaps, in those quiet times and those isolated times, to think of our life, to take stock of our life. Where is it going? What have I achieved? What have I attained? What about life after death? All of these things have to be considered, and men don't like to think about them. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like that. Maybe you're happy to talk about the farming. Maybe you're happy to talk about the weather. You're happy to talk about any subject except the matter of where you will spend eternity. You don't like to think about it. You don't like to consider it. You like to leave it alone and set it away to some side of your life where you'll never have to deal with it. But you know, you can't do that. You can't just set it to one side and leave it alone. This little verse tells us. It says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the verse 8 reminds us, with regard to our spiritual welfare, that if you, my friend, reap to the flesh, or sow to the flesh, then you will reap of the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit of God, if you sow to the Holy Spirit and the things of heavenly matters, then you will reap in that manner. If you have no time for God in this life, then there will come a day when God will say to you, depart into everlasting darkness, I never knew you. That's the law of the harvest. That's the spiritual law that we see today. Many are sowing in life. You go into the classroom and there the teacher is sowing. Teacher is patiently day by day seeking to teach the young child. Seeking to teach them to read and to write and to count. You go into the Sunday school class and again the teacher is there and she's trying to teach. You go into the home and the mother will take time with her children to try and prepare them for life ahead. Each one of them are sowing. Each one of them are sowing in the hope that that teacher is sowing in the hope that that child will one day pass their exam. The mother is sowing in the heart of the little one that one day that child will go out into society and they will know how to conduct themselves. They will know how to behave. Every aspect of life, men and women are sowing. You and I tonight, as we gather here in this meeting, we're sowing. Sowing in a different manner. Perhaps you're in business and you're sowing in the business with the hope that someday you will attain a little profit, you will gain in business. But what about spiritual matters? What way are you sowing spiritually? Child of God, tonight as we gather here, we read that verse 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Child of God, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom tonight? Are you telling men and women of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, maybe you have a busy life at school. Maybe you have a busy life in the university. You have a busy life in your place of employment and you have no time for the things of God. You have no time to speak a word for the Master. You ought to be sowing. You know, the farmer, when it comes to the time of the harvest, He has many things on his mind. But if he forgets to go out and sow the crop, he's nothing for the future. Child of God tonight, if you're saved by God's grace and mercy, you ought to be sowing. We live in an age today where there are many who are outside of Christ. The fields are white already to harvest, as the Scripture tells us. Every saint of God ought to be spreading the good news of the gospel. We bring it a little closer. We bring it into the home and we ask the parents, what are you sowing? Are you sowing the message of the gospel in the heart of your children? Matthew 6 verse 33, those well-known words tell us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is that what you're sowing in the home? You're reminding your children that in everything you do and say, God must come first. That's the most important thing in life. Are you implanting an ethos within their life for the rest of their days? The old preacher in Ecclesiastes in chapter 9 in the verse 10, he tells us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Are you implanting that truth in their heart? Friend, in this meeting this evening with regard to spiritual matters, what are you showing? Do you consider the things of God? Have you really sat down and considered that one day you will reap as you sow? Perhaps you've lived a life that is void of Christ. Well, you come to church and you're faithful and you give to the church, but there's no room in your heart for God. Consider this law. If you sow in that manner, one day you will reap. You have no time for the God of glory. There will come a time when there will be no opportunity for you. Genesis chapter 6, we are reminded, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, there comes a time when the day of opportunity is over. There comes a time when the deadline is crossed. When your destiny is sealed for time and for eternity. Within this law, we see the scope of it. It applies to many aspects of life. But most importantly, friend, this evening, it applies to the spiritual well-being. But you know, we see also a limitation in this law that's given. What we read here, it says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, you only reap what you sow. And that's common sense in gardening terms. You don't sow carrots and anticipate reaping parsnips. The farmer doesn't go out and sow barley and expect to reap wheat. You reap what you sow. There's that direct link between the two parts of it. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you'll reap. You know, the Bible tells us of an Old Testament character by the name of Jacob. And you remember the story as Jacob grows up in the home and he comes with his brother Esau, and we find that two times he betrays or deceives his brother. Old Esau comes in from the field and he's hungry. And he wants something to eat. And Jacob says to him, Esau, if you sell me your birthright, I'll make you something to eat. I have stew here, you can have it. Then he twisted with his brother and he got the birthright. Time passed on and it came to the point where his father was nearing the time of death. And together with his mother, Jacob plotted and they deceived old Isaac. He put the hair upon his arms and on the back of his neck and he went in and he received the blessing. He was a twister. He was a supplanter. And then you turn over the Bible a few pages and you see him as he works for his wife Rachel and Leah. And as he works for that man Laban, you see that Laban deceives him a number of times. You see, what Jacob sowed, Jacob reaped. Jacob was a twister in the home. There come that stage in his life where he was on the receiving end. Yes, God touched him, made him a child of his, but he still received what he sowed. Solemn truth, friend. You and I will reap what we sow. The book of Revelation tells us regarding the future. It says the books were opened. The dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. You see, you and I are judged according to our works. What are you sowing to? Verse 8, as we've mentioned, clarifies that he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Friend, tonight, are you reaping everlasting life? Have you sowed to the Spirit? You see, as you consider these words, you may say, well, those are only the words of the preacher. They're not. They're the words of the God of heaven. Paul penned these words as he was guided by the third person of the Trinity, by the Holy Spirit. These are words that are here for your instruction and for mine. God makes it very clear. It's very simple. There's nothing complicated about it. You don't need a pile of letters after your name to understand this law that's here. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you turn back a few verses in Galatians there to chapter 5, look down at the verse 19. Paul clarifies what he means by the flesh. You see, verse 8 says, he that sows to the flesh. Chapter 5, down there at the verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the works of the flesh. You look down them there, and if you wanted to summarize them, you could put them under certain headings. There are those that relate to lust of the flesh, those carnal desires, those immoral desires of the flesh that are contrary to the word of God. Practices that are condemned in society and are frowned upon and condemned by God's word. Things that ought to be hated and despised. That's what it means by sowing to the flesh. And how many there are in our world today, and they're sowing to that which pleases the flesh. They're not interested in what God wants. They're not interested in what the Bible teaches. Rather, they're sowing to themselves. They want pleasure. They want joy. They want happiness. They want ease. They want contentment. And maybe that's your thought. You think of the scripture and you think of the laws of God and you think, I couldn't live that life. It's too strict. It's too harsh. It's too narrow. I don't want the Christ ruling in my life. Friend, if that's your attitude, then you're sowing to the things of the flesh. You're sowing to those things that are carnal. You're sowing to those things that are temporary. Those things that will pass away. Yes, this world brings pleasure, but it's only for a time. It's only for a season. After the pleasures, there comes the hardship and the difficulty. It's only partly coming. But you know, Paul also mentions here in these sins, he mentions idolatry and witchcraft. And you might say to me, well, I'm not involved in those things. Those are dark things. We live in an age and you're coming up to what's termed Halloween and there's much focus on such all of this nonsense that's mentioned here. There's a darkness and an evilness about it. But you know, it speaks of idolatry. And maybe you're looking at that word and you think, well, I don't worship idols. I don't have a little image sitting in the living room and I don't go in and bow down to it and pray to it. I'm not worshiping an idol such as that. But you know, idolatry doesn't always have to be in that form. Idolatry simply means something else is in place of God. How easy that can happen in lives. How easy that can happen in the day and age in which we live. Life becomes so busy. Everything else is so important, and at times the things of God, they're set to one side. What has happened? Something else has taken its place. The attendance at God's house at various meetings. Something else has taken its place. Idolatry. Oh, you may not be involved in all the other things that are there, but something's taken the place of God, and it's wrong. Are you sowing such a pattern in your life? You will reap again from that. Paul reminds us of those that sow to the flesh, that they will reap corruption. They will reap that eternal separation from a triune God. They will reap that eternity, the place the Bible describes as hell. But you know, there's another option here, as we find in this passage. Paul not only speaks of those that reap to the flesh, or sow to the flesh, but he speaks of those that sow to the Spirit. It says, they shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, here's the truth and here's the thought as we read it that reminds us of the preparation that God has made for His people. For you and I tonight that are saved, there is a home in the glory land. There is a mansion prepared for His people. He left the disciples, and as we read in John's Gospel 14, chapter 14, and He says, I go to prepare a mansion for you. Mansion in heaven. That's the returns of life everlasting. That's the reaping that the child of God will have. And friend, tonight, that can be the reaping of each one in our meeting if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn from your wickedness, if you turn from your sinful ways and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope and the only means of redemption, you don't have to continue in the way you're going. You don't have to continue sowing to the things of the flesh. You can come to Christ. You can confess your sin. You can repent of your sin and embrace Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, we read of the Apostle Paul and his conversion there in Acts 9. For a time in his life, he was sowing to wickedness. He was sowing to violence, and yet God stopped him. There on the Damascus Road, the God of heaven stepped into his life and transformed him and changed him around. He became a new man. And what God done for Saul of Tarsus, He can do to you, for you tonight, my friend. Here in this meeting, maybe up to this point in time, you've had no time for God. Up to this point, you've been sowing to the flesh. You've been sowing to those things that you desired. You've been sowing to the materialism of this world. Now's the time to change. Now's the time to get right with God. You see, salvation, getting right with God, is not something that you can leave to another day. The Bible reminds us very clearly. It says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God. The law of the harvest. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. One brief thought, just in closing. Whenever the farmer sows in the field, what's his hope for the reaping? The farmer, as he sows the grass seed in the field, he's hoping for a bumper harvest. He's hoping to gain more than he's sowed. Did you ever think of that? The idea of sowing is that you might gain more in the reaping. But friend, tonight if you're unsaved, tonight if you're sowing to the flesh, how does that fare for you? You reap a greater judgment than what you've sown. It's a solemn thought. It's a thought that ought to make men and women tonight consider their latter end. Child of God, in this meeting, as we consider this law, how are we sowing? Are we sowing to the things of God? Oh, it's so easy to get wrapped up in everything going on around us. Set God aside. We trust and pray you're not doing that. We trust and pray tonight that every faithful child of God in this meeting, that you're sowing to the things of eternity. That you're sowing to the work of God. You're spending time with the Lord. Spending time in His Word. Spending time in the place of prayer. That you might reap the bountiful blessings that He can bestow upon us. The law of the harvest. Simple law. A very straightforward law. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Friend, in conclusion tonight, it is our prayer that each one in this place, that they might not sow to the flesh, but rather they would be those that would sow to the Spirit. They might be those this evening that will know, will experience and will enjoy everlasting life with their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust and pray that the Lord will write these thoughts, these words upon each one of your hearts this evening, so they might come and get right with Him. Let's just close our meeting in a word of prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, as we draw nigh to Thee this evening, we thank and praise You for this time of the harvest. And Lord, we thank of the law that Thou hast brought even to our attention on Thy word. Lord, we ask and pray that even in our gathering this evening, Lord, that each one in our midst will take stock of it. Lord, that they will consider that time of sowing, they will consider that time of reaping. Lord, that each one in this gathering, that they might sow to the things of God. Father, how sad it would be if men and women heard the preaching of the gospel time and time again, yet they chose to turn their back to it, to rebel against it. Lord, in that great judgment day, they're cast into that place of outer darkness. Lord, how sad. Lord, how sorrow. Father, tonight we pray that You'd speak to hearts. challenge each one of us afresh. Lord, as Thy people, we pray that we might be those that devote our time to the things of God, that we might not sow just to the things of the flesh, those things that please yourself, but Lord, there might be that sowing to the kingdom of God. There might be that time for the Lord, that dedication to the Lord, that desiring of His will and His mind in our lives. Father in heaven, write these truths upon our heart. Close us in with Thyself this evening, for it's in Your precious name we ask all of these things. Amen.